Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. And during our fellowship time, please spend some time sitting next to Araceli and Maya, asking them questions, and also to Elder Frank. Welcome back, Brother Richard from Vietnam. Good to see you. Let's turn to Mark, chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. Today, obviously, for left word, for our time's sake, I'm going to give you the shorter version. I do have a longer version of my sermon notes, and for those of you who want to read more about God's kingdom and children, and especially about infant baptism, I think this will be helpful. So ask me and I will send. This is the reading of God's word. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as this. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let me share a few examples of little children shining beautifully the light of Jesus. I was watching a YouTube, and there, I watched a three-year-old boy singing the goodness of God in a worship, not America Got Talent. I don't like those shows, especially singing praise songs, but it was in a worship. Oh, I was in tears with joy. In one of the churches I serve, a baby would come to the early morning prayer meeting with his mom, and while she prayed, he slept next to his praying mom. What an amazing mom. What an amazing baby. In another church I serve, we used to have Bible memorization day where not only the adults, but little children would also stand to recite large chunks of Bible verses. That occasion, I remember it was the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. I heard several missionaries share that God used the little children to soften the hearts of the native people, opening an avenue to share the gospel with them. May I say, little children are God's kingdom people. Let's get to our passage today, because he speaks and gives us amazing things. Mark 10:13, he says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. Why would the disciples rebuke the people who were bringing their little children to Jesus? Our first instinct might be to tell the disciples they're wrong. But let's not jump the gun here. Let's think it through. Why do we think that the disciples are wrong? It's because of what we know. See, we know little children are precious to Jesus. We know without Jesus, we're all lost. We know there's no greater blessing than to come and receive his blessings. We know if we were also there, we would want Jesus to place his hand on our little children and bless them. And if he was okay, to also bless us as well, right? But before we react too harshly on the disciples, let's pause a little and think. Why did the disciples act the way they did? In other words, what did they know that made them do what they did? See, the disciples knew Jesus was under great pressure from constant crowds and a demanding schedule that sometimes left him no time to even eat. The disciples must have thought their role was to protect the Lord from what they consider annoying interruptions and petty distractions, like a smart secretary would to a busy executive. The disciples must have thought that they were truly blessing the Lord by cutting off what was unnecessary to him. See, I have no doubt that the disciples were acting in good faith with great intentions, Desiring to bless and to protect their Lord. So if we are to judge the disciples based on this verse by their intention and subsequent action, they should be commended for being thoughtful and having a wonderful desire to protect the Lord as best as they could. But, that's what makes this verse so humbling. What they meant for good, it really turned out to be evil. They meant to protect their Lord, but it turned out to rob the little children of their blessings. There's a proverb. The road to hell is paved with many good intentions. How frightening is that, isn't it? May we remember, sometimes even our best of intentions end up unintentionally hurting others more than we know. We need humility and wisdom to live right before our God. Our true and only standard must come only from our Lord taught in His Word. So let's study God's Word well today, as Jesus' custom is to teach us. Let us go back to our scripture, Mark 10, verse 13. I'm going to read all the way to verse 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. Verse 14, when Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as this. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them. Let's behold who Jesus is by seeing how He responded to the disciples rebuking the people, bringing their little children to Him. First, in verse 14, we read, when Jesus saw this, He was indignant. Jesus was angry when He saw His disciples rebuke the people who were bringing the little children. Imagine if this passage should end simply up to verse 13 without seeing Jesus' response and only know of how His disciples acted. What would the people think? Here they were bringing the little children for Jesus to bless them, and instead of being welcome and encouraged, they were rebuked by none other than the people who were closest to Jesus, His disciples. If this was their total experience, then the people would have found Jesus to be an annoyed person, rebuking the people for desiring blessings, right? Do many people in the world today find Jesus to be demanding, hypocritical, unloving, because the people nearest to Him act like that? In other words, the people saw Jesus through His disciples, and unfortunately, they received the wrong image, the wrong message, a message that really wasn't Jesus. The people in our passage today, up to verse 13, would have thought that Jesus doesn't care for them. And the proof was in the way the disciples treated them. But all the non-believers who had a bad image of Jesus is because they saw Jesus through the actions and words of His disciples who falsely misrepresented Him. That's why the way we live, the way we speak, is more than simply about our lives. We are meant to reflect Jesus. So to see Jesus in verse 14, what Jesus saw and what He did is really amazing. See, Jesus saw that these people rebuked by His disciples instead of being welcomed by them. Jesus knew that these people would be discouraged and probably hurt. That's why I find Jesus' indignation in verse 14 so beautiful. Jesus often saw His disciples make mistakes, but He doesn't always get angry with them. But here, He did. Why? What was it different? I believe it is because it wasn't simply about the disciples' mistakes, but their mistake hurt and stumbled other people, including little children. Because their sins stumbled other people, including the little children, Jesus rebuked his disciples publicly so that not only them, but also all the other people, including his little children, will correctly learn of what Jesus' heart is truly like. And what is Jesus' heart like? See, Jesus' heart sees the sin of his disciples and shows them that they were sinning so they can repent and turn to God's way and taste the sweetness of God's forgiveness again. See, Jesus' heart also sees the hurt of the people and shows them that he is not annoyed by their coming, no. But he loves that they have come and won his blessings. Jesus' heart truly delights to have little children come to him so that he can bless them even when he is tired and exhausted and could have used a little break. Jesus' heart is indignant because he hates that his people are hurting and stumbling others rather than blessing and encouraging each other. Have you experienced Jesus' compassion in his indignation? That sounds weird, doesn't it? Jesus' compassion in his indignation. See, I'm so thankful that Jesus seeing all that's happening in our lives and when his people hurt, we can see he becomes indignant. Seeing Jesus angry is an amazing love for us. For Jesus is angry because he sees his people, we are hurting. That's why I'm so frightened for the people who stumbled and hurt other people, especially God's little children, because one day they will have to face an angry God. One comparison is more scarier than Stephen Seagal going after the people who killed his family. You understand why God's people do not have to take vengeance into our own hands? It is because Jesus is like an angry father going after the bullies who hurt his children. Our God, Jesus, is truly compassionate for his children. He really, truly loves us, his people, his little children. I want you to go home, and if you have children, tell them how much Jesus really loves them. But not only to the little ones, tell each other how much Jesus truly loves his people, each of you. Do you know that? Do you know each day? Do you hear each day how much God loves you? Oh, please, say that to each other and remember. Now, let's get to our second response to Jesus, to his disciples rebuking the people. In verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." What did Jesus mean? Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it? To understand this better, let's quickly do a few Q&A. First, did Jesus mean that all the little children will enter into God's kingdom? No. I don't believe that's what Jesus is saying. We do know little children are beautiful and precious. But did you know they can also be just as sinful as like adults? Let me take you to one scripture. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 23 and 24. From there, Elijah went up to Bethel as he was walking along the road. Uh-oh, some boys, little children, came out of the town and jeered at him. "Get out of here, Baldy," they say. "Get out of here, Baldy." Wow. He turned around and looked at them and called down a curse on them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled, what, how many? 42. 42 of the boys. Yes, these boys were mean. They were terrible. Despite their sinfulness, we would expect the prophet of God to forgive them and walk away. But that's not what happened, was it? At the request of the prophet, God sent two bears to maul 42 children. Much should be said, but I will just say this. It shows children are as sinful as adults. And the wages of sin, Romans 6:23 teaches us, is death, not only for the adults, including the children as well. Second question. Did Jesus mean that anyone who will be saved needs to become a child again? Again, no. That's not what Jesus meant. Nicodemus gives us a little insight. John chapter 3, verse 4. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. No, none of us can turn back the clock and become a baby again. Third question. What did Jesus mean when he said, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it? See, Jesus meant to have a heart similar to what little children have. Let me share a few. Little children have complete trust in their parents to solve for them whatever struggles or problems they have. Little children believe their parents are more powerful than any evil enemies they may encounter. Little children do not work for their provision, for their protection, or for their rest. No, they don't. They just tell the parents what they need. Little children run to the parents when they are hurt, trusting that they would heal them, comfort them, and deliver them from any problems they have. One more. Little children believe what the parents teach them when they are young. That's why the families where Santa Claus is taught, the little children learn you have to be good in order to earn the gifts. However, for the families that teach Jesus is our greatest and truest gift, the children will learn God's gift comes only by his grace, not earned, but a free gift. Before we wrap up this message, I do want us to reflect the goodness of our Heavenly Father and what he desires for his people, for his little children. See, when God teaches us to be like a little child, he does not mean for us to be childish. Hear the difference, please. So all the things that describe a childish person, immaturity, self-centeredness, selfishness, spoiled, entitled, disobedient, unruly, careless, thoughtless, impatient, lacking self-control, among others. These are not to be the characteristics of God's people, both for the adult and also the little children. Childishness is not what God wants his children to be like. And if we are, may I lovingly encourage us? Let's humbly and earnestly repent before our God. May we sincerely pray that we will mature in our faith and grow more like our Lord Jesus. You know, our Heavenly Father teaches that his people must learn, like little children learn unquestionably from their loving parents. So let me briefly and quickly highlight five beautiful truths and then close our message. First, our Heavenly Father teaches his people that the only way to be saved from our sins is through his Son. You know, there are many religions in our world, but they don't all lead to the same destination. Jesus is the only way to be saved, and God wants us to learn to place all of our faith and trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, because only Jesus can pay the full price for all of our sins when he went to the cross for me and for you. Oh my goodness, I wish I had a lot more time to speak about this. Imagine all of your sins, all of it, the ugly sins that you hate, the evil that you've done, the things that you cannot forget or forgive, every single terrible thing you did or you experienced, cleansed, forgiven in Jesus. That's what the Father wants us to learn. Second, our Heavenly Father teaches us that His children must learn to live for the greatest purpose He has given us. See, God wants us to learn that His children must no longer live simply for the happiness of this passing world, but our new lives are meant to be lived for God's glory in all things for all the days of our lives here.